prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 16 April 2024, and you're in for a broadcast tonight that I think you're going to have in your mind for a long time. We're going to talk to a gentleman named John Daniel Davidson about a book he wrote entitled Pagan America: The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. I haven't got a copy of the book yet, but I'm going to get one. I'm looking forward to seeing this very much. But anyway, before I do that, don't forget we're going to have Bible study this weekend, Lord willing. I hope you'll join us via Rumble on our website, PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and find us on Rumble. Or you can call us on the phone if you don't have a computer at 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. You can listen to the teaching. It starts 10:30 a.m. Eastern. First half hour course is always dedicated to prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30, 12:30, we do Christian Worldview News, which is prophecy in the news. And a special guest coming up this Saturday between 1 and 2 p.m. Eastern is Michael Bodea, Dimitri Dudeman's grandson. You're in for a treat, folks, on this. Just hearing about the life of Dimitri, the price he paid for following God's will. And no, folks, I don't agree with everything Dimitri said, but that makes no difference. He followed God's will, brought a message to the USA that's much needed. As a matter of fact, the book we're discussing tonight with John Davidson, Pagan America and the Dark Age to Come, fits right in a lot with Dimitri's prophecy. It truly does. So don't forget that. Bible study this weekend. You come and join us if you can. And don't forget, starting within a month and a half or thereabouts, maybe 2 months, this program will cease being live at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We're going to pre-record it because it's a change in personnel at the Global Star. Things got changed a little bit. And so we're going to be recording the shows early and playing them at night. So won't be able to take any more phone calls as we have been, but I think it'll be just fine. So starting as soon as we can arrange it, we'll be going to pre-recorded broadcast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights. So let me give you a heads up on that. And we're still offering one of the most important teachings I have ever done, American Prophecy. It's available, folks, now. It's been shipped to fields, been shipping out the orders, DVDs or CDs. We've been sending the book from here along with the outline of the lesson. I hope and pray, if you want to understand Bible prophecy and read about the future America, you'll find it in the Scriptures. And I proved it with the Scriptures. $25 will get you the 3-hour teaching, actually 6 hours, because you'll be getting some Christian Worldview News on there also, 3 hours of that and 3 hours teaching. On DVD or CD, I recommend DVD, but do what you can on that. And you'll get a book with that entitled The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. And we'll see an outline on that lesson for free. So $25 covers all that, including shipping, to your front door. Just call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. To reorder that lesson, just tell Lisa what you want. She knows all about it. If you want anything else from us, let us know. We have, of course, the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash, Strauss products, all that's available, folks. We're trying to keep the lights on here. And postage is going up again in July. It's getting harder and harder not to have raised prices on postage. Just keep things going. It's just unbelievably it's just getting unbelievably rough, tough every day to keep up with inflation on everything. That's just the way it is. But there's available, folks. You want it, just call and let us know. And this month's magazine going out of here next Thursday. The Minuteman magazine going out of here. And there's going to be two articles in there. The Interesting History of the Income Tax. An article I think you'll find equally interesting because of what it's about. They call the article The Confederate Gettysburg Address. It was made back in 1871 by a pastor, a Reverend John Geraldo. Folks, it's amazing. If you want to see how that ties in with the income tax, once you read the Confederate Gettysburg Address and read about the history of income tax, you understand how in 1871 the Constitution was done away with. And it started declining quickly because the Federalists took over the country more and more over states' rights every day. It has every day since then. Now, with all that said, and by the way, that'll be in the magazine. You don't receive the magazine, this 15, 20-page report of both these, if you want them, a donation. If you send a few bucks, pay postage. Again, folks, about 10 bucks for everything. We'll send them right out to you. But it'll be in the May magazine, Lord willing. Now, to our guest. As I said, his name is John Daniel Davison. His book is entitled The Decline of Christianity in the Dark Age to Come. And he says evil is coming worse than you can imagine. And he agrees with me, folks. America is past the point of no return. It's over with. Now, John Davison is a senior editor of the Federalist Paper. Over a nearly 20-year career in journalism, he has written widely from national publications, including the Wall Street Journal, National Review, The Guardian, The New York Post, The Claremont Review of Books, and first, folks, he's this man's been around. Okay, he knows what he's talking about. But he's been on Fox and Friends, NPR, and BBC. This gentleman is qualified to share what he's going to share with us tonight. And John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
It is so good to have you, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, especially as far away from us as that you are. You're about as far away you can get from us, still being in the country.
That's right. I am.
He's in Alaska, folks. He can't get much further from that than West Virginia. But anyway, welcome to the program. And I mean this, an honor to have you. And I do want to copy your book, so we'll discuss that after a while. But I want to copy this book. I'm anxious to read it. So tell us, I read a little bit about your bio here. Tell the folks a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm, as you say, I'm a journalist. I'm a senior editor at The Federalist. And this is my first book, so I guess I'm an author now as well as a journalist. And I have worked at the Federalist since 2016. I joined their staff to cover the 2016 presidential election, and I've been there ever since. And boy, have things moved quickly in America since 2016. Part of my motivation for writing Pagan America was just seeing how quickly we were emerging into what I describe as a post-Christian era in this country.
And by the way, I want to say this too. If people can't see this coming on this country, that's around the world, but this is really a shocker for America. We never thought America would turn that far away from God, although I've been radio 31 years. And back in the 90s, you talk about this happening. One day, it almost be against the law to be a Christian. It's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, we are, one of the arguments I make at the beginning of the book is that America was founded more or less as a Christian country, which is to say the founders understood that the kind of republic that they were creating of self-governing citizens of free and open elections, government by consent, the Bill of Rights, all of that was only going to be possible with a Christian people, And if the people cease to be Christian, then the system of government, the form of government, is going to go away, because there won't be any basis for things like freedom of speech or freedom of religion. There won't be any basis for things like individual rights or government by consent. Those are all things that arise out of Christian civilization and depend for their sustenance on a Christian faith alive and active Amen. Among the people. So
as we become
less Christian, we're going to lose those forms of government that we've enjoyed
absolutely.
For so long.
And, absolutely. The only way we can be a free country is if we govern ourselves according to the moral laws of God. Once you lose morality and you get to be governed by laws of man with prisons and other things, you cease your ability to be free individuals. And I see that, now John, I know you too, probably more than I do. I've seen it for several years now. If we don't govern ourselves according to God's morals, we fall into chaos. And chaos
right.
brings, as a new Lord says, brings order. They control us in. They pass more laws. We have laws now. I'm sure that you and I break laws every day and don't even know it, because man becomes so ungovernable in himself that we have to have laws to try to restrict everything they do. I mean, we're having states now trying to make against law to sell big sugary drinks at stores. They want to cut down the size of them. How much you can buy in way of, say, a bottle of Coke. This is pretty much control, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. When you lose the ability to govern yourself, then you're no longer free, right? And so what the founders in particular had in mind when they talked about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they didn't, when they used the phrase pursuit of happiness, they weren't thinking some libertarian, every person pursues their own truth and lives their best life. The pursuit of happiness for them was the acquisition of virtue. And the happy person was the virtuous person. And this was a new idea. This is the idea that had been around for thousands of years in the Christian religion and in Christendom and in European Christian civilization. Pope John Paul II said that freedom, true freedom, is not the ability to do what you want, but the freedom to do what you ought. And that is the sense that the founders understood freedom and the pursuit of happiness. And so this is tied up in what I was saying earlier, that this kind of society and this kind of government only works with a certain kind of people. And where we're at now in our country, and where we have been since about the middle of the last century, but now it's becoming really explicit now. And the broad contours of post-Christian America or pagan America are coming into view. Where we're at now is in a very different place than where we have been for most of our history. And we need to start grappling with the idea that America moving forward is going to be post-Christian.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It already is, actually. It truly already is. But whenever you have a society that governs itself under its own ideas of what's right and wrong, when the philosophy of each man becomes their God, so to speak, you have chaos in society. It's like a multicultural society. You can't have that. One must be dominant. And in this country, Christianity is no longer dominant. It's called humanism, which, by the way, is a religion. It is now dominant in this country. And we are already post-Christian. I think you can see that already in so many different directions. So with what you wrote in your book here, give us just a brief overview of some chapters in your book. Just give an idea. Whet our appetite.
Yeah, the reason that the book is called Pagan America and not, you know, secular America or humanist America is because secularism and humanism, sort of atheism, is just a way station on the way back to paganism. Now, the paganism that is emerging in our time is not going to look like the paganism of the pre-Christian past. We're not going to see temples to Zeus and Apollo cropping up in Times Square, or a sudden surge of witchcraft in the streets, although we are starting to see more interest in witchcraft, especially among young people. But it's going to take new forms in a modern post-Christian context. And what will be the same as the pagan past will be what I call the pagan ethos, which is a radical moral subjectivity that eventually devolves into a question of power. And so what will determine what is right in a post-Christian pagan America is not some universal, transcendent, you know, moral truth of the kind that Christianity proclaimed, but simply force and coercion. In other words, might will make right once again. That's how it was in the pre-Christian times, and that's how it will be in the post-Christian times.
Well, we're seeing already, and I just mentioned it, the inclination for a tyranny to build up all around us. It's been here for many, many years, longer than you and I've been alive. But it's really increased in the last 20 years. Government had become basically our God. It passes every law, every way, everything possible to tax us, control us, take our homes, take our property, put us in prison for saying the wrong things, thinking the wrong thoughts. This is America today. Because America has forgotten God, God's forgotten America. And that's a true statement, but kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never bought into the idea that that America as such, you know, had a you know, special dispensation from God, and that it would endure forever as, you know, as God's you know, land of the free, right? America was prosperous, and America thrived through much of our history, only to the extent that we adhered to the Christian principles that we derive from the Christian faith, right? The reason that we have tolerance in America, like freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that we tolerate differences and we protect rights, is that we believe in the Catholic doctrine of Imago Dei, that every person is created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore each individual has inherent human dignity. That's where human rights come from. They don't come from the United Nations. They don't come from the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. They come from God. And Americans understood that and recognized it through most of our history. And so to the extent that we kept to that and we organized society around the acceptance of those perennial, timeless Christian truths, we prospered. But to the extent that we have begun departing from them since, I would argue, about the last century and really picking up in the middle of the 20th century, we have seen our society slowly lose those protections and those rights and freedoms. All the things that made us prosperous are starting to erode and starting to slip away. And what's coming behind them is a tyranny, and it's a tyranny and a rule by force and coercion that I don't think a lot of Americans, and certainly not a lot of Christians, have really wrapped their mind around what that's going to look like.
Well, you know, tyrannies, dictatorships, sometimes can still have some rules that they follow and maybe a little bit of justice involved in the judgments. But when you have a society that has no basis for any type of morality, and it can change from administration to administration or from party to party, whatever, you have utter chaos. I mean, you'll be breaking laws that last year, you're breaking laws this year that last year wasn't against law to do. You were breaking laws, and that changes all the time. So it causes mass confusion, and it leads to more tyranny, and it leads to anger, and it'll lead to civil war, as I think we're seeing come about right now. We're seeing people becoming angry. John, very angry about what's happening in this country, and it's because of the chaos and the evil we see around us, and overall, the churches in America really don't seem to be too concerned with this. They're just waiting for the rapture or whatever. They're not too concerned about anything except their next ham and yam dinner, and that's what breaks my heart. We were put here to be salt and light. We were here to occupy till he come, but we haven't done too well lately, have we?
No, and part of the frustration that you're talking about, the anger that people feel, is when they see a double standard of justice being applied.
Of course.
And one of the things I discuss in the book is why this is. Why do we see this double standard, particularly when it comes to sort of federal law enforcement or the kinds of things that the Department of Justice prosecutes in some cases, but not in others. And those, I think, can be understood going back to this pagan paradigm. In ancient Rome, you know, everyone could practice their different religions. There was all kinds of different religions in Rome, and the state didn't really care about your religious belief. What they did care about was the public or state morality, and that was something everyone had to do. You had to offer your pinch of incense to Caesar. That was it doesn't matter what you believed about God or the gods or this religious ritual or that. You had to perform the public or state morality. And we're starting to see that emerge again, where, you know, Christianity united religion and morality. What you believed determined what you did. In the pagan societies, those things were separate, and they're beginning to be separate again. The regime, so to speak, today doesn't care what you believe as long as you keep it private, you keep it in your church, you keep it in your home. You just don't take it out to the public square. In the public square, you have to perform the state or official morality. You have to genuflect to transgenderism, to gay marriage, to abortion, to critical race theory, to any number of doctrines and faith claims that the regime has decided everyone must unanimously support. And if you don't, there's real consequences for it. And we've seen that with anti-abortion protesters being raided in their homes, having the book thrown at them and threatened with lengthy prison terms, where other people on the other side of the ideological and really religious spectrum, people who agree with the regime and perform the public or state morality, they can burn down entire city blocks and riot and commit all sorts of heinous crimes.
That's true.
And they don't get prosecuted. And I argue that that's not an accident. That's on purpose. And it's meant to send a message to all of us that if you don't perform the state morality, there will be consequences.
Well, and in addition to that, don't you think sometimes that this is being done to instigate unrest and maybe civil war? You know, there's a new movie out entitled Civil War. I haven't saw it. Somebody said that it was pretty good. So I heard people say otherwise. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie Civil War. But do you think it's possible that these powers that be want to see more dissension so they can pass more laws to control more people? And this radical, we'll say Christian nationalists who believe that America was once a godly nation and needs to be again, they'll hate us even more. Can you see that happening?
Yeah, I think there's a sense in which the regime, the post-liberal, post-Christian regime wants there to be an overreaction among Christians and among on the right, because it's a pretext to bring the full powers of the state down on those who dissent and who refuse to offer the pinch of incense to Caesar. There's a chapter in the book that is called The Pagan State, and it describes some of this and some of how it works and how even private dissent in your own conscience, in your own mind, will be criminalized. And as an example, I talk about a series of laws that have been passed recently in the United Kingdom and Ireland and elsewhere in Europe, criminalizing silent prayer within a certain distance of abortion clinics. If you stand within, 100 feet of an abortion clinic in some parts of Great Britain, even if you're just standing there silently praying and the police come up and ask you if you're silently praying and you say yes, they'll arrest you. They'll tell you to leave. And if you don't, they'll put handcuffs on you and forcibly put you in the police car and drag you away to prison. It's against the law to silently pray outside what have become, I argue, sort of new temples of the pagan regime, these abortion clinics, which perform a modern version of child sacrifice. So protesting against that, dissenting against that, even in your own mind, has already been made a crime in certain parts of Europe. And so we can look to Europe as sort of a glimpse into the future of where the logic of the post-Christian order is leading here in America.
Well, many years ago, 25 years ago or more, I started reading about thought police, thought crimes. And I thought, how are they going to do that? I mean, people will be arrested for thinking. Well, you know, if you say the wrong word on the phone, I don't care if you say bomb or murder or whatever it may be, assassinate, they can come literally to your house and interview you. It's happened already. So, in a sense, you have lost all freedom to express a thought if it applies contrary to what somebody else thinks is right or wrong. You know, back in the old days when this nation was being formed, they hung leaders in effigy. I mean, they literally made dummies out of something and hung in a tree to hang your leader, show what they're going to do if they didn't straighten up. Well, if you did that today, you'd be in jail tomorrow. Now, that's how much this country's changed. And again, it's called thought control. People are afraid to even think out loud, much less do anything. So with the paganism coming, now you use the word paganism, and I'm sure you get into the satanic activity in this country. We're seeing that on the rise. We're now seeing statues of Baphomet and with children in state houses. We're seeing so much of this evil. We're having devil worship centers in schools. We're seeing this happen very quickly. Something that even 20 years ago was on the fringe has now been accepted as being normal, just like transgenderism and homosexuality and all the other perversions. At one time, they were at best on the fringe, but now they've been accepted and embraced. Are you seeing that happening? Or are you seeing the demonic activity increasing?
Yeah, I would not shy away from calling it demonic activity. I think one of the things that Christians have to maybe come to terms with is that demonic activity is real, right? It's not something in the past. It's not something that went away at some point in history. The names have changed and the vocabulary has changed. And that's one of the difficulties that we have, right, with talking about paganism. Because, as I say, you know, the paganism of the modern era in the year 2024 is not going to look like the paganism of the past.
Right.
In most cases, you're not going to have people coming out and saying, you know, everyone should worship Moloch. But when they give justifications for abortion that amount to nothing more than an unborn child has no rights if the mother does not want that child, that is a form of worship to Moloch, right? Even though it doesn't go by that name. And we're starting to see the sacramentalization of some of these things that are best understood as neo-pagan religious rites. And I talk about abortion in that context, and some, you know, influencers, the growing trend of influencers on YouTube that give instructions about how to make an altar to your abortion, right? And how to honor yourself and heal yourself after an abortion. And using this very religious language and using sort of pagan forms of religion to talk about what for the pagans is and always has been a sacrament, right? A sacrament of child sacrifice.
That's true.
And it's interesting to note, too, and I go through this in a section of the book, how the justifications for abortion have changed. And we can talk about that later.
Hang on through the break. Yes, folks, a lot more to talk about and your phone call next half hour at 844-769-2944. Use your chance to call in, folks, and share your thoughts, ask questions while it lasts. Because one day in the next month or so, 2 months, calling in will be gone. So remember that. 844-769-2944. Don't go away.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living
very
in
good
unstable
job,
times. Or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America. Cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food. Simply by calling Nevada Foods. The best unstable foods, bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we are back. We're talking to a gentleman tonight that I think you need to pay attention to, named John Daniel Davidson. He has a book out entitled Pagan America, and we're going to tell you, get a copy of it. Right, just get a pen and paper handy. Because I do believe that you're going to want to copy this. I agree with what he's saying. Demonic activity in America has increased, oh my goodness, 1,000-fold in my lifetime. And I want you to understand this, folks. It's not because Satan is getting more powerful. He's just gaining influence. So therefore, he gains power through the number of people that believe in him and follow him. And the kingdom of God on this earth is supposed to be his church that are manifesting the kingdom and promoting the kingdom of God, have basically went to sleep on the job. So Satan is winning more disciples right now than Christ did because the church has quit being what it's supposed to be. We've tolerated, condoned, and turned our backs against evil because we don't offend anybody. And in the meantime, they destroyed our children's and grandchildren's futures because of our apathy, laziness, indifference, whatever you want to call it. That's what's happened to America. Now, you were making a point for when to break there. Go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, I was talking about abortion, and the justifications for abortion have changed since Roe v. Wade quite dramatically, and I think it illustrates how the post-Christian America will abandon this notion of secularism and, you know, cold rationalism and materialism as this new pagan spirit kind of reasserts itself as Christianity declines in this country. And you see it in the justifications for abortion. When Roe v. Wade passed, the argument was that this is not a child. This is not a human being. It's a clump of cells. And getting an abortion is no different than getting an appendectomy, right? So let's not get all, you know, up in arms about it. and that justification quickly was rendered untenable by advances in medical technology that demonstrated pretty conclusively that it's not just a clump of cells. This is a unique individual human being. In the 80s, starting in the 80s and especially into the 90s, we got new ways of imaging in utero children that were really startling. The cover of Time magazine featured these things. And, you know, as we gained more ability to even treat medical problems in utero, it brought up all these ethical questions about, well, how can you treat medical problems for an unborn child, but also legalize the killing of unborn children at will? And so there was a kind of period in the 1990s when Bill Clinton, you know, referred to abortion as something that should be safe, legal, and rare. And sort of we didn't want to talk about the reality of what we all knew it was, that it was a unique human being that was being killed and was being denied their fundamental rights, their right to life. But that was not going to last. And so we saw, beginning in about 2015, another shift in the justification for abortion. And that was a complete 180 from where it had been at the time of Roe v. Wade. And it was the Shout Your Abortion movement that argued that abortion was a positive good that liberated women, and there should be no shame or stigma attached to it, and that women should be unafraid to boast about having an abortion and talk about how getting an abortion was so good for them and all the things that it did in their life. And this is where we are now. And so the problem with this is that there can be no denying now, based simply on advances in medical technology. If, let's say, you reject the Christian claims about the human person, just based on medical technology, there's no denying unborn children are indeed unique human individuals, right? But our laws and our culture is so backwards that you could have two unborn children of the same gestational age in two different states, one of them born prematurely has to be saved. All medical technology and ability in that hospital has to be brought to bear to save that child's life. A child in another state under different laws of the exact same age can be killed with impunity. And the only difference between those two cases is the will of the mother and her desire or not to keep that child. And so here is an example of what I talk about, the pagan ethos in which what is right is determined only by force and coercion and will. That's it.
Wow. Well, you know, it's abortion. That's murder. I call it murder. The murder of babies had become almost a religious sacrament to the Planned Parenthood and other people of that ilk. It's almost like a religious a ceremony that's they really do consider it a constitutional right. If you don't allow that, then you're interfering with their religion. Now, that's been said by them. So I don't know much more it's going to take to prove to people how far we went down the road whenever they can claim the right to murder a religious right. I mean, that's absolutely absurd. But they're doing it, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to them, the vindication of the constitutional rights for women requires the denial of all constitutional rights for the unborn. Now, there's another group of people who believed that in American history at one time, and they were Southern slave owners. They believed that the slave owners, their property rights could only be vindicated and only be secured by a total denial of all rights to Black slaves. And so the slave mentality that existed in the antebellum South is alive and well in the pro-abortion movement today. It's the same mentality, and it posits the same standard for what is right and just. And it's not based on any moral universal claims about the human person or our relationship to God and our obligations to one another, but only, as I said before, on force and coercion. It's a force majeure. And that is what we see emerging more and more in the public square, not appeals to universal moral claims, but appeals to power. And that is quintessentially pagan. The pagan worldview is one that divinized the here and now and rejected transcendent claims. And so they were free to make a god out of a natural phenomenon or even out of a man, which they did more than once. And so we're seeing this emerge more and more in all these different ways in American society.
And this is in some ways worse than we thought about slavery, because this is done against a real individual who is totally and completely helpless in the mother's womb. They have
That's
no
right.
way to run or hide or defend themselves. They're totally at the mercy of their mother and somebody that calls himself a doctor to rip them apart in the womb or sell their parts once they get them out of there, let them be born alive and then kill them and keep the parts. I mean, this is all going on right now. So this atrocity, as you said during the break, is nothing new. Child sacrifice has been going on for thousands of years. But America has perfected that. We found a way to make profit at it, not just sacrifice, but profit for body parts and everything else. So we're seeing a much worse, in my mind, much worse scenario in America than we ever did in history. What's your comments on that?
Yeah, the commodification, this is the other thing that when you reject universal moral claims about the human person, you do end up with this sort of, you know, commodification of everything, right? And even in the case of abortion, the commodifying of fetal body parts, quite a gruesome thing that we all have found out a lot more about in recent years. But this is in keeping in line, you know, you retain the outward vocabulary and the outward forms of science and rationalism and materialism, but what's actually being practiced is gruesome modern forms of neo-paganism, right? One of the things that I argue in the book is that the future is not going to be this, you know, secular, neutral, materialistic world that we saw, kind of, you know, sort of the new atheism that we saw last century and even 20 years ago. That was just a way station en route to a new paganism that does make supernatural claims and does ignore science and rationalism. Because, of course, science and rationalism are creations of Christian civilization. As Christians, we know there is no conflict, there's no contradiction between reason and faith, between scientific knowledge and God-given truth, right? And this is where we get natural law, right? But the pagan, the pagan has to reject science ultimately, and that's what we're seeing now. So even during COVID, you know, they still invoke science.
Yeah,
but they reject it at the same time. So they say, "Well, we follow the science, and we're the party of science." And they say that, and in the next breath, they issue some mandate that has nothing to do with science or data, or even common sense. And so, you know, we see this over and over: this invocation of science and a rejection of it, and that too is a hallmark of pagan America.
Well, we'll take a phone call in a second, so bear with us a minute, Gary. But, we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28, that God said, "I'll smite you with madness." This is insanity. Mm-hmm. There's no more reason, like you said. There's no reasoning. It's more or less, if it feels good, do it, type mentality. Mm-hmm. And if you oppose that, then you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're a homophobe, you're a anti-Semite. You may call you anything, a racist, because you oppose it. And now we're seeing not only attack on Christianity, but of course upon the Caucasian people. White people in America are now called bigots or whatever, racists, just because they study math. And I'm not making it up. This is a fact, folks. That mathematics is becoming racist and other things that are that absurd also. So we're seeing paganism come in many forms in a Christian nation, truly Christian nation. All men are created equals as who they are as creation of God. But in a paganistic society, They get to pick the class of people they want to rule and the ones they want to control. Well, I think we're seeing that come in that direction. Any comments on that, John?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That, you know, in a pagan society, all men are not created equal. Some are created to be, you know, some are natural slaves and some are natural rulers, right? That's even pagans who we, you know, agree had a lot of wise and insightful things to say, who were some of the greatest thinkers of Western civilization, like Aristotle. At the beginning of Aristotle's Politics, he cedes the point that some people are naturally slave, and he accepts that idea. And when he goes on to talk about his politics, you know, he's talking about equals. He's talking about citizens and how they should arrange their affairs. He's not talking about slaves. He accepts that those people should be slaves, even if he has some, you know, disagreements about how slavery was practiced in his time. He accepts the premise. And so when you accept that premise that not all men are created equal, that some are slaves and some are rulers, then you eventually arrive at the form that pagan societies have always taken, which are slave empires, where there's a ruling class and there's a slave class. And I argue that eventually, inevitably, that is where we will end up, unless we can find our way back to Christianity and reconvert the country.
Well, that will be a dream come true, but I don't see it happening. Before going further and get to the phone lines, tell the folks how to get a copy of your book.
The book came out on March 24th, and so it's available pretty much wherever books are sold. You know, Amazon, if you do Amazon, but it's also in bookstores at Barnes & Noble and other bookstores. It's available to be downloaded as an audiobook, and you can also get it through used book stores and used book outlets like Thrift Books as well.
Okay. Now, folks, again, the name of the book is Pagan America. Just remember that. John Daniel Davidson. I'm anxious to get a copy of myself. This book, I think, will be really, really a powerful read. Pagan America. Let's go to Arizona and talk to our brother, Gary. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch, and hi, John. I would just like to keep this short because I know time is short here and some other people might want to get on. But I want to cover something back in history here that we all should know. The quote by Patrick Henry when he said, "It cannot be emphasized too often or too strongly that this great nation was founded not by religious, but by Christians, not by Amen. Religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. So that was what the founders believed. Now I'm going to quote one more verse of scripture. Not scripture, but from what the early reformers said, and everybody should know this, Sir Edmund Burke: "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing."
Very true.
And that's what we have done. John, do you agree with that, John?
Absolutely, yeah. In the second chapter of the book, I talk about the founders and what they had to say about what they were doing and what kind of society they were forming. And of course, there's the famous quote from John Adams, who said that our Constitution was meant for only a moral and religious people, and it is unfit for that of any other. But, you know, it wasn't just John Adams. George Washington, Samuel Adams, many others, and, you know, some of those you quoted there, they all said similar things, and the constant refrain from them, and this is a group of people, by the way, who had very diverse religious views. Some of them were just deists and who were very cagey about their religious views. Others were openly Christian, both Protestant and Catholic. And they had a diversity of views, but they all agreed that the kind of society that they were creating was only one that Christians could maintain, because they needed to be people who were morally virtuous and who were capable of self-government and self-control. And they knew that if the people themselves didn't practice these Christian virtues, then the system of government would collapse.
And I'll add this to it too. They knew the people that they had to, that would have to be living in this nation to maintain it. that these people had to demand that their leaders follow the same standards, or there'd be another revolution. Matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson said that about the Tree of Liberty, and it must be, you know, every 10 years needs to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And I agree with that. But see, it isn't just, it isn't enough just for us, John and Gary, to do what's morally right. We need to demand it of others, as our scriptures tell us to, and especially in our leaders, do the same thing, because people in the Old Testament were judged because of the sins of the leaders. David sinned, people died. Manasseh sinned, people died. So there's nothing new here. If the people are going to be morally virtuous, that's wonderful, but they must demand it of their leaders also. Any comments on that, John or Gary? Either one.
Butch, the quote by Sir Edmund Burke, when I'm putting my street display up here, my pro-life street display, and show people what abortion truly is, I put that on there with by Sir Edmund Burke, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And also the quote there from the pastor back in the days of Hitler, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. It said, not to speak is to speak. And see, that is true. If we don't speak out about the evils of today, we'll let the evils of today overcome us. And, if we want to bring down the wrath of God on a nation, if you want to bring that down, just go ahead and kill the most innocent among you. And I guarantee you the wrath of God will fall upon this nation, save we repent. Thank you so very much, both of you, for what you do. I'll let somebody else get on. And God bless each of you. And bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And, John, again, I want to reiterate, it's not just our right, but our duty, as the Declaration of Independence says, to demand our leaders be righteous leaders. That's our duty, not just our right, it's a duty. So we need to take that to heart, but we haven't done it for a long time. People are afraid to speak up. We become so used to being quiet. I mean, the gentleman that Gary's talking about was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was a preacher under Hitler. But now the point of it is, we have let this society turn this way on our watch, and that is a sad thing to say about any people. But it's happened. We've done that, and we watched the slaughter. They say 65 million. I think it's closer to 100 million babies on our watch since 1973. We watched this come together. Watch this nation decline further and further into chaos, into evil, with teachings in a public fool system, I call it. It's not a school anymore. It's a public fool system. They took God out of school in 63 or tried to. They've denied the morals of God. Now we have children killing children in schools, taking gun school and killing children. I took gun to school when I was in school, but I didn't shoot anybody with it. I went hunting with it after school. These are all facts. Something happened to the moral fiber in America. You can't blame it on anyone but the church. We were the ones that were to promote the gospel and the laws of God. Last chapter of Matthew says, go out into the whole world and disciple the nations, teach them what I've taught you, to obey the commandments. We haven't done that as in our nation. We did it one time, but that died several decades ago. Comments on that?
Yeah, the observation that Christians have to speak out is true. And one of the things I talk about in the last chapter is that it's not enough to just sort of preserve our faith communities, our churches, our home schools, and practice the faith in our homes and in our communities. We actually have to take the faith back out into the public square and proclaim it to a pagan world, a re-paganizing world. And one of the things I think Christians need to accept is that when they do that, they will be persecuted. And I don't just mean that they will be ostracized or mocked, or that the kind of social prestige or respectability that once attached itself to Christianity will be gone. That's already gone. I mean real persecution. Like I talked about earlier, praying outside the abortion clinic will get you thrown in jail. You'll be hauled away by the police. We need to get comfortable with the idea that proclaiming the faith in public and insisting that the faith inform our public life is going to be something that we are persecuted for.
Amen.
And we have to prepare ourselves for that. And there's no easy way to say that. That's just something. And the way to begin preparing for that is to accept it in your mind, to accept that that is what's going to happen.
I agree. And folks, we've got about 3 minutes left for phone calls. You want to hurry at 844-769-2944. Once again, tell me how to get a copy of your book.
The book, as I said, came out at the end of March, and it's available wherever books are sold. You know, brick and mortar stores like Barnes and Noble will have it. You can get it online at Amazon or Thrift Books or any other online booksellers. And there's also an audio version of the book available for those who do audiobooks.
And we're done about the last 2 minutes here. So, quick question. With what you're seeing happening now, how rapidly do you think our society is declining into getting how soon before it goes into just basically utter chaos?
Well, I don't know that it'll go into chaos. I do think that there will still be an order. It'll just be a pagan order.
Well, that's what that's what I mean. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and I think that we're seeing that emerge now, and we're going to see it continue to emerge within our lifetimes. And I don't think this is the kind of thing that is going to be turned around, you know, in a matter of years or election cycles. There's no election that's going to save us.
Amen.
There's no political movement that's going to save us. This is we got into this situation over the course of generations, and it's going to take generations to get out. So the long fight and the long war is the war that we're fighting. There's no question that war is upon us. The only question is, what are we going to do about it?
Well, somebody once said there are no political fixes to a spiritual problem. And that's
right.
What this is. It's totally spiritual. And, John, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I do appreciate that. Can we do it again sometime?
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, my friend. I'll be in touch, and if you can do anything for you, let me know, okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
God bless. Folks, we love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night with our guest, Jerry Barrett, of Prior Prophecy. More good conversation, and phone lines being open for a while longer. And that's all I can say. I hope you take advantage of that fact until this is stopped sometime next month and a half, 2 months. We'll be going to pre-recorded programs and tell you this way in advance, so I won't take anybody by surprise. It's things that happen, folks. Things have to change once in a while, and it's just the way it is. So we're going to be going to pre-recorded broadcast soon, so Todd and others can get some better quality time of a little bit of rest once in a while. And I hope you'll take advantage of the phone lines being open while you can. So you heard the program again tonight. We're asking you to get involved. Let's not just talk the talk, folks. Let's walk the walk. No matter what the cost, let's serve our Savior. God bless. See you tomorrow night. Good night.
And on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.